day after you were fired, the president is meeting in the Oval Office with the Russian foreign minister. Calls you a nut job, says that the pressure on him has been relieved. What did you think when you saw that?
Wow, was my reaction. First of all, what are the Russians doing in the Oval Office? One, as a counterintelligence person, I'm thinking that's crazy. And without any Americans being present, one. And two, the pretense is melting away. The bit about you were fired because of how you handled the email investigation is melting away. You were fired because of the Russia investigation.
And now, according to the New York Times, as that was happening, James Comey's former colleagues in the FBI were opening up a counterintelligence investigation into the president. Let's talk about that now on our roundtable, joined by our chief White House correspondent, Jonathan Karl. Alicia Menendez, co-host of Amanpour and Company on PBS, also contributor at Bustle. Rehan Salam, executive editor at the National Review. Chris Christie, former Republican governor of New Jersey, now an ABC News contributor, and the former Democratic senator from North Dakota, Heidi Heitkamp. Thanks for coming in this morning. So, John, let's start out with these two stories in the New York Times and the Washington Post over the weekend. We've seen President Trump's reaction. Says being asked about it is insulting, was tweeting all morning yesterday, I think about a dozen tweets about the New York Times story. But what are you picking up from others inside the president's orbit?
Look, I mean, the story in the New York Times was an extraordinary reflection of the level of distrust between the FBI leadership and the president, and how suspicious the president's behavior was, that they actually were to the point of investigating
the letters about firing Comey, the interview with Lester Holt.
Yes. And actually going to the point of investigating whether or not effectively the president was a Russian agent. But what I am getting is that this is all building up to the Mueller report and raising expectations of a bombshell report. And there have been expectations that have been building, of course, for over a year on this. But people who are closest to what Mueller has been doing, who have interacted with the special counsel, caution me that this report is almost certain to be anticlimactic. That if you look at what the FBI was investigating in that New York Times report, look at what they were investigating, Mueller did not go anywhere with that investigation. He has been writing his report in real time through these indictments, and we have seen nothing from Mueller on the central question of, was there any coordination, collusion, with the Russians in the effort to meddle in the elections? Or was there even any knowledge on the part of the president or anybody in his campaign with what the Russians were doing?
They haven't laid that out yet in the indictments, but how do things like the Trump Tower meeting with Russians, Don Jr., Paul Manafort giving polling data to Ukrainian oligarchs, the pursuit of a Trump Tower in Moscow, how does that fit into this theory?
What we've certainly seen over and over again is that people around the president, first of all, have been willing to lie to investigators and had their own dealings with Russians, had their own agendas with Russians. Manafort was trying to get paid for his work on behalf of Ukraine. Flynn had his own dealings. But it is not added up to anything of the central question. Again, was there anybody, was the Trump campaign aware of or coordinating with the Russians in their effort to meddle with the election? So far, there's been nothing on that, and I'm led to believe don't expect there's going to be
Senator anything. Heitkamp, one of the things we're seeing from this new Democrat chairman in control of the House is they're going to pursue this on their own.
Well, absolutely, and they should. I mean, that's part of the oversight. That's part of the responsibility. But I think, speaking from the middle of the country, people are tired of hearing about things that are being reported in newspapers. They want a legitimate answer to these questions in the investigation. They want this to end. They want to make sure that they have all the facts in front of them. And it's frustrating when all you hear about is the New York Times reports or the Washington Post reports. That's important, but it's not definitive. And I think that the answer that we have to have before we go into the 2020 cycle is we have to get this behind us so we can begin to govern. It is having an effect on everything that is going on. And, you know, I think to add to the confusion, the Michael Cohen testimony is going to be, you know, if you listen to experts, it's going to be more significant than the Mueller report. So we'll see what happens.
When he testifies on February 7th, that is likely not to be up with the questions being investigated by Robert Mueller, but about other things that he worked on. Another factor here will be this William Barr, who's has his confirmation hearings this week for Attorney General. He'll oversee the Russia investigation. It certainly appears right now, at least, although no one really knows, that Robert Mueller won't end his investigation until Barr's in place.
Yeah, I think that's probably true, George. And on the New York Times story, I would tell you this. If I were the president, I'd embrace the story because it backs up his narrative. His narrative is that FBI agents were acting in a rogue manner, overstepping the normal course of business because they had something against him. And that story is an extraordinary story, that they would open a counterintelligence investigation against a president of the United States. And I think it backs up some of the narrative the president has talked about. So if I were him, I wouldn't be tweeting about, you know, the failing New York Times and how bad the story is and how insulted he is to be accused of that. I'd go the opposite tack and say, wait a second. See, this is what I've been saying all along. The FBI under Jim Comey was out of control. And I think what they're going to find with Bill Barr is, Bill Barr is a standard issue Washington, D.C. inside lawyer. And what that means is he's going to oversee Bob Mueller and let Bob Mueller come to the conclusion he needs to come to and let him issue his report publicly. And he won't do anything different, in my view.
Should the president embrace the New York Times story?
That is certainly one argument. I think he also has to speak to this question of why he's been taking notes from translators. And it reopens that question.
Well, because he doesn't, trust these people around him and the counterintelligence folks. He doesn't trust them. That's why he's taking them.
I think all of this, though, adds fire to, as we go into these Barr confirmation hearings, two questions we're going to hear over and over again from Democrats. One, will you allow the special counsel to continue their investigation unabated? And second, when the report is finally released, will you make that report public? Those were questions we knew we were going to hear, and this just adds fuel to the fire.
Well, it sounds like if John's reporting is correct, the president's allies would want the report to be public.
Well, again, George, this is on the central big question of, was there any coordination, collusion with the Russians on what they were doing in the election? There's plenty that's already been out publicly that is highly embarrassing to the president.
On obstruction.
Yeah, on obstruction and on the activities of those in his innermost circle, criminal activities of those in his innermost circle.
I want to pick up on the translator story as well, Rehan. I mean, it is true that the president has good reason to be suspicious of those inside the government, no question about that. But he has had a number of one-on-one meetings alone with Vladimir Putin. And according to one detail in the Washington Post, the translator was able to brief colleagues saying that when the president asked Putin, "Did you interfere in our elections?" he said no. The president responded, "I believe you." Runs counter to the administration position.
Well, one thing that I do know is that, as Steve Scalise pointed out earlier on, the Trump administration has taken a more hawkish stance on great power competition, including with Russia. That doesn't really square with the narrative that there's some kind of longstanding cooperation. I'm also struck by the fact that there are efforts to preemptively undermine the Mueller report beforehand, on the grounds that perhaps it is not going to be as explosive as some might have hoped, as some might have expected. With regard to these private consultations...
Do you believe those reports?
Do I believe those reports? Mm-hmm. Honestly, I don't know. What I do know is that Robert Mueller is a professional. I know this is a well-resourced, serious investigation. It seems to me as though if the counterintelligence angle were a serious one, that he would pursue it seriously on the grounds of his long experience and on the grounds of his deep concern about American national security. So I don't think it makes sense to preemptively undermine that or to assume that he wouldn't have taken it seriously. As for these personal meetings, frankly, it's part of what makes many people deeply uncomfortable about President Trump. His incredibly unconventional approach to diplomacy that he underscored as a presidential candidate that he has pursued since then. It makes many of his own appointees deeply uncomfortable. But it is of a pattern with what he himself has said about his approach to diplomacy. So it's not entirely surprising in that regard.
And George, there's an important context here, what the Washington Post reported on the president's one-on-one meetings with Vladimir Putin. This is something that he does. He has met with other world leaders one-on-one. It's not unique to Putin. It is certainly a break with what his predecessors did. It avoids the entire national security process. It may be troubling in that regard, but it is not unique to Putin. He met with Kim Jong-un one-on-one in Singapore. He met with President Xi at Mar-a-Lago one-on-one. He has phone calls sometimes from the residence because he's worried about the Oval Office being bugged. Again,
does that make the story better or worse?
Well, no, I'm not saying good or bad, but what I'm saying is it's not unique to Putin. This is the way he conducts foreign affairs.
This is completely consistent with the way the president thinks about himself. Remember his convention speech. Only I can fix it.
I alone can fix it.
I alone can fix it. And he honestly believes that everybody else doesn't have the ability that he has. Now, he may be right sometimes, he may be wrong other times. I think he's been both. But in the end, he believes that. So I think I agree with John that this is consistent. And Rehan, it's consistent with who he is. We may be uncomfortable with it, those of us who believe foreign policy should be more conventionally pursued, but that's who he is.
But what does it say about the leader of the free world that he doesn't trust anyone around him? that he's been there for 2 years. He should be able to assemble a team that he trusts. And that is a big concern for a lot of people, both in and out of the
Bellevue. Well, you know, I've said at this table, he's made some really bad personnel choices over the last couple of years. And I think part of his own concern about this now is the result of making some bad personnel choices right from the beginning.
But maybe starting
the leaders don't make
by not
bad
letting you run the transition
decisions.
As you were scheduled to do.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel. If you'd like to get more videos, show highlights, and watch live event coverage, click on the right over here to subscribe to our channel. And don't forget to download the ABC News app for breaking news alerts. Thanks for watching.